I have a burden tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Jeremiah. And then from there, we will be in other portions of Scripture. But I'm concerned today that many churches are not walking the old paths. They are abandoning the old paths. I asked Danny Mintz how long he has been here on the staff. He said for 44 years this year. So he's seen a lot of testing for this church. And this church has gone through a tremendous amount of testing. I'm convinced the reason is the devil hates this church. He hates it with a passion simply because this church is stood by the old paths. And I want to talk about three old paths tonight: the old book, the new birth, and the blessed hope. Those are three tremendous in that path that we must stay on. And book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16 says, This said the Lord, stand ye in the way and seek and ask for the old paths. The word paths here is from the word which has the well-worn paths. Well-worn paths. You know, we got a lot of new paths today coming out of churches, but this is the old paths. We're going to talk about the old paths tonight. And it says, and walk therein, and what? You'll find rest for your soul. There's turmoil in the world today. There's turmoil in our country today. And that's just to be understood. But turmoil in churches ought not be. And I'm convinced today it's because they've left the old paths. You stay in the battle no matter what. Stay on the old paths. They're so vital. I thank the Lord God has sent your pastor here to help this church to stay on the old paths. I was glad God sent me here for about a year, I think it was. I can tell you real quick. I can tell you when I came here. I came here January 17, 2021, and left December 12th in 2021. So about a year. About a year here. And a wonderful time with most people. And I want you to know, Andrew, I'm glad God is using you here, you and Larissa. Amen. I knew Andrew before any of you here knew who he was. One of the churches that I did an interim with was in Michigan. And if how many are ever been in Michigan? God help you. They have 1 week of summer, and that's it. It's mostly winter up there. We had a great ministry, and then the Haynes family is now with us from that. He was chairman of the Board of Deacons. You were a little squirt that time, and now you're a big squirt. But anyway, we're glad you're here. Glad you're on the staff here. Thank the Lord for Larissa, and I say this, the Towns family may have convictions. They love the old paths, and I thank God for that. We've started here, and so I want to talk about the old book, the Bible, the new birth. For the new birth, I spoke mainly on that this morning, but maybe say a few other things, and then the blessed hope. Father, do a work in our hearts tonight, and I'll thank you for what you're going to do. In our Savior, the Lord Jesus' precious name, amen. First of all, I'm thinking of the old book, the Bible. When I say the Bible, somebody said to me one day, said, Stevens, you're just too narrow. I'm as narrow as this book. I'm going to stay as narrow as this book. And I'm bothered today when we have new translations today that are changing many of the truths of God's Word. I love the old KJV Bible. Thank the Lord for it. Hope you do tonight. But let me just point out, first of all, turn in your Bible from that reference there. Turn to Psalm 12. Look at verse 6 and 7. The old book, the Bible. They are living words from heaven. That's what I find here. Let me tell you why the old. Listen, there are many new paths, new translations, and new programs, and new thoughts. But I want to tell you something. We need to walk the old path. Look there in Samuel 12, in verse 6 and 7. I want you to notice something. First of all, the words that I hold here tonight in preacher are powerful. Look here. How do I know that? The words of who? Of the Lord. Those are powerful words. They're not only powerful words, but as I look at this text, they're pure words. Notice what he says, are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And the word seven, number seven, is always a number of completeness. Hey, we got the complete word of God here tonight. Thankful for the book, thankful for it. And we notice also they are preserved words. Look at the verse here. We not only see that they are powerful because the Lord gave them, they're not only pure, but they're preserved in a furnace of earth, purified. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. What? For what? Forever. That's the book that I'm holding in my hand tonight, and I thank the Lord for it. And that we need to maintain that old path. I want to give you three references about this old book tonight. That's the first one. The second one is found in 2 Peter. So turn into the New Testament now and look with me in 2 Peter. And as you do so, I draw your attention here to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. Look there, if you will, please, the verse 19 and 20, 21, 20. 20 and 21 there, because here we see the Word of God is, this book is not only our living words from heaven, but they are, this book is light in a dark world. We live in dark times, very dark times. Matter of fact, I don't even like the time change. How many like the time change? We're going to excommunicate you. We will know who you are, so we can remove your name from there. I just don't like darkness. I don't care for it at all. I don't like 5 o'clock, it's dark, or 5:30, or whatever. But we read over here, if you will, the 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You know, we have people today who now claim to be prophets. I got news for you. The church is a non-profit organization, spelt both ways. There are no prophets today. And we're non-profit. And so he said, there are no prophets. He said, we have a sure word of prophecy. Whereunto do well that you take heed as the light shineth in the dark place. Think with me for a moment. Do you know where the darkest place on this planet is? It's in the human heart of man. It's in the human heart of man. The day star in a dark heart, a light that shineth in a dark place. The heart of man is the darkest place, I believe, on the planet of Earth. And we realize today that darkness. It is not only a day star. The Bible says that it brings light. Hallelujah, light in a dark world. But it's dedicated to truth. Amen. Dedicated to truth. Look with me at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. We about once every year or two, about all we can handle, we'll go to a smorgasbord. I love smorgasbord. That's why we don't go. You don't go at my age very often. And when I go there, I'm not interested in salad. Last thing on my list, Brother Jesse, we had, Marilyn ordered a salad today. Oh, that's for rabbits. No, I eat my salad if I have to. It's just sometimes it just gags me, but I eat it. I head for the real good stuff. I head for the meat, potatoes, and then for the desserts. And then if I got enough time, I'll eat a little bit of salad. It's called pick and choose. And we got too many smorgasbord churches today. It's pick and choose, but leave the real things that are important for the church out. We're living in a pick and choose age today. I was dealing with someone not too long ago. He's talking about his church. He said, oh, we got a great church, except for the music. He had to say that. There's something wrong when the music doesn't honor the Lord. Excuse me. That's the wrong path. Stay on the old path. Now, I don't know. They won't let me sing. I sang a duet once. I think I told that story. I sang that with somebody, and halfway through, she broke down, started laughing. That was my last day as a senior pastor at Northside. And I turned to one of the men on staff. I said, wasn't I on key? He said, many. Many. But I want to tell you something. We need to stay to the old paths and everything about our church. Not a private interpretation. Well, I'm tired of hearing it's your opinion. I'm tired of it. The Word of God is not an opinion. It's truth. And if it doesn't teach doctrine and teach truth, it's wrong. And I share with you that. Notice it's not only a dark day star in a dark place and a dedicated to truth, no private, but it's also divine in its origin. Notice there in verse 21, for the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not, ready for this? This is not the Word of God. This is the words, plural, of God. Every word in this book is inspired of God. May we not forget that. And so the third reference, the first one was Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. The Word of God is a living word from heaven. It is the light in a dark world. And thirdly, turn to 2 Timothy 3. Turn there with me, because it is also life to a dead sinner. Everyone born into this human age, or in this world today, that little fella, Luke, wasn't he a cute little guy? Only problem, he's dead. What dare you say that? He needs spiritual life. That's what I mean, but physically, I'm glad he's alive. Most of you know the story of my handicapped daughter, and Chrissy is not saved. She can't understand. Hallelujah, she'll go to heaven, though, because she just doesn't understand it all. And I'm praising the Lord for that. I give her, remember I tell you at times about how I'd give her Bible lessons? I'd say, Chrissy, where's God? She'd look up. I'd say, where's Jesus? I'd say, where's the devil? Over her wheelchair, she'd look down. But I still remember the day she got mad at me and pointed right at me, and I said, where's the devil? Don't you laugh at that. We need to realize today the people were sinners. Now, if you went up and down the street tonight when you leave here, and you went up to people, knocked on the door, and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I just want to introduce myself. I just want you to know you're a sinner. I have a feeling you'll get the door shoved in your face. Because no one likes to see themselves as a sinner. They're dead in spiritual sin. And we find in 2 Timothy 3, turn there with me, because as I look at this verse, I thank God for this book, because look here in verse 15, and as a child, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, thou hast known the what? This book's sinless. I have about 3,000 volumes in my library. And that's not a big library, but that's all my wife would let me buy down through the years. Seriously, I thank God for every book I have, but not one of them is sinless. Not one of them is written by a sinless author, but we have a book that is written by God. It's a sinless book. Thank God. Look at the rest of the text. It's a savior. And to make one wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. I'll never forget the time many years ago in my first church, second church that I pastored 3 and 40 years, and had done 13 interims in 13 years. So that's 53 years in the ministry. But I won't forget in Santa Maria, California, when Mrs. Hauser called me up and she said, my husband is dying. Could you go and try one more time to win him to Christ? He was a hard man. He wanted nothing to do with God. I said, I'll do it. Of course I'd do it. And I went there and he was somewhat unconscious. And I read scripture to him. And I explained the plan of salvation to him. And I walked out there. The nurse said, well, he probably won't live through the night. He not only lived through the night, he was cured of his sickness. A month later, he walked in the church. I'll never forget it. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I need to be baptized." I said, "Well, that's fine, but you need to be saved." "Oh," he said, "I got saved. You led me to the Lord in the room. I got Baptocostical. I got so excited that God here took a saving book, and I read a saving book to a lost sinner, and he got saved, and he wanted to be baptized. He's now home with the Lord, but hallelujah, he's with the Lord." It's not only in 2 Timothy 3, that third reference that deals with the life to a dead sinner. We not only see a sinless book and a saving book, but we see a school book. Oh, this is a school book. This is where you really learn truth. There was a man years ago, he's home with the Lord now, J. Vernon McGee. How many have ever heard of that name? I've been in his church many a time when he was here on this planet, and he would get up with that voice of his, and he says, "The Bible has all the answers to all your problems." I can hear him now. And it does. It's a school book to teach you how to live. And that's what verse 16 is all about. Verse chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration. And God is profitable. He said four things. Profitable for what? Doctrine. And by the way, if you don't begin with doctrine, everything else doesn't matter. You got to begin with doctrine. And that's the beliefs you need to believe. That's the beliefs you need to believe. And then for reproof, that's the sins we need to see. When I read the Bible and I'm, listen, if there are things not right in my life, you guess what the Bible does? Convicts me. And then not only do I see it here, profit for doctrine, that's the beliefs we need to believe, and that's the sins we need to see, but the correction we need to come about. He said for correction. Correction. For instruction in righteousness. When we see this book and we read it, it does those things to us. Oh, I tell you today, the old book. Stay with it. Stay with your KJV. The Lord carries, he's coming. Another 50 years, I won't be around. Another 20 years, I won't be around, probably. Another 10 years, I don't know, at my age. But I want you to know something. This book is going to be around. And we better understand it's the old book. You say today, we're not a very big church. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because you have a big God. So the church is as big as the heart of God. And I would suggest today that you understand the old paths begin with a book. I was sitting under Jesse's teaching, but he preaches when he teaches too. I do the same thing when I teach. Thank God for that. Was good. He just said what the Bible said, and don't move from that book. And I would pray today that you won't move from that book. You'll stay with it. It's needed in your life. Then that's the old book. And then I think of the new birth. Oh, I talked a lot about the new birth this morning, but when I think about being born again, you know, that's a supernatural experience. It takes the convicting power of the Word of God. Turn with Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 17. Turn there, and when you do, look with me at two key verses in Romans. Now, I'll get to it eventually. Romans 10. And as you turn there, look with me first at verse chapter 10. I'll get to it eventually. Maybe take an hour, but I want you to know verse 17. You're familiar with that verse, aren't you? So faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by what? Word of God. Now there are two words for the word. The word logos, that's not the word here. This is the logos. This is God's word. Jesus is God's word. Amen? It's not the word here. It's the word rhema. know what the word Rhema is? The word Rhema is a word from God within the word. It's when God brings something out to you that you need to make some changes in your life. It's amazing to me how many people will love their church until what the preacher says disagree with the way they're living. Or disagree with something that they think, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not an opinion. And so we have to realize the word Rhema, it's the word within the word. It's that does its work. I've never won anybody to Christ without the Rhema. The word within the word. Taking it and open it to them and letting them know. So here we have. And then I think of chapter, same chapter. Look, go back to verse 13. Now, if I step on any toes here, praise the Lord. I want you to notice verse 13, for whosoever. Those who leave the path of evangelism go into Calvinism. Don't you dare walk down that path. I remember my second church that I pastored was Santa Maria, California, and I made a statement one Sunday. I believe it today. I said, Calvinism becomes demonism when it kills evangelism. I lost six families. Best thing happened to the church. You know why? Because they were trying to make it into a Calvinistic church. A church that doesn't believe the whosoever. Hope you believe the whosoever. I hope you believe today that God loves everybody. He wants to save everybody. But they have to make a decision. So we see here the Word of God. It's a convicting power of the Word of God. It's also the converting power of the Holy Spirit. That new birth could not come about if it wasn't for the convicting power of the Word of God and the converting power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me. Forgot to write it down. Let's Luke. Go somewhere in Luke. You choose a place. Go to Luke 24. I think I'm okay on that. Luke 24. Now, I want you to see three words here. I want you to notice this, the converting power here. I want you to notice three words that are absolutely important. Look here, three words. They're not reading, writing, they all start with an R, and they're not reading, writing, and arithmetic. Look there in verse 46 and 47. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. You can never get saved without the resurrecting Christ. Now that one's easy, isn't it? You believe in the resurrection tonight? Amen. But notice the second word. Verse 47. And that what? Repentance. We're leaving that word out. That's in the old past, folks. That's the old past. In order to be saved, there must be a repentance of your sinful nature and sinful ways. I don't know how to say this, but just say it. Watch out for easy believism. That's leaving the old past. Easy believism that says, well, all you got to do is just receive Jesus. You say, and he'll save you. No, he will save you, but you better be repenting of your sins. Well, he wants to save you. And then the third word is the word remission. And remission of sin. That word remission means to send away. There's a change. We're no longer seeing that in our churches today. People want to bring in the garbage of their past lives, still want to live the old life. You can't do that. That's not the old paths. I'll never forget the day I got converted. Whew. Wow. My My mama and my stepfather had bought me a pipe. I used to smoke a pipe before I got saved. And they brought me for Christmas, and I thought, man, what am I going to do? I don't want to smoke anymore. Nobody told me not to smoke, except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God told me. And I just put it away because they're Catholics, and I'm trying to win them to the Lord. I don't want to think I offend them in the area that may, you know, listen, folks, there are a lot of people who don't smoke are still not going to heaven. A lot of people who smoke, they're going to be there too because they trusted Christ. They just haven't grown enough. Does that make sense? But there's a change. I think I've turned toward this story more than once, haven't I? But it's okay. I'm an old man. You can trust an old man just to keep repeating them. Remember that experience that I said? I also smoked cigars. I'm down at town Newark, Ohio, and I'm smoking that big old cigar. I see the preacher coming across the street. Remember that story? How many remember that story? I didn't tell her. My wife says, I remember it. And I thought, I probably shouldn't be smoking this. What am I going to do? Don't do what I did. I put it in my hip pocket. I invented the twist. I'm trying to get that cigar out. And he see me and smoke is coming up out of the back of me like that. I didn't want to face the preacher. Now, listen, folks, he had sins in his life too. We all do, but it was something God just used that. God began to change me. I remember when Jim Hyatt, he came by and he said, John, what are we going to do? It's tomorrow night, Saturday night. I'd only been saved a week. I said, Jim, I can't do any of those things anymore. Can't go carousing, can't do those things. I don't know why, but I know I can't. You know what he said to me? He said, well, why? I said, because I'm a Christian now. I got saved. He said, well, I got saved. I didn't see it. I didn't see it in his life. And I wanted to think later, I wanted to say, Jim, as far as you were concerned, I could have gone to hell by the very style of life that you lived. And so the convincing power of the Word and the converting power of the Holy Spirit. See, there are 3 days in your life, very important day. There's the day you were born. I can't remember that. They tell me about it. Got on my birth certificate. There's the day of your birth. But there's the day of your new birth. And the day of my birth, no doubt, was in the newspaper. The day of my new birth is now written in heaven, a far greater place. Never for anybody to throw it away. And then there's the day of your death. Day of your death. All I say to you today, be ready for that. Be ready for that. I was thinking here today also, as I thought about the fact that I have here, thank God, the old paths of the book. By the way, for years I used a different Bible. I got convicted about it. See, where I went to school, they could use anything. But to me, it wasn't, this is the Word of God. This is the real Word of God. I got the real stuff. Amen. In front of me. The old book, the new birth, the old book. Some people despise it. I was one of them for years. I despise this book. Why did I despise it? Because it was telling me things that I didn't want to change in my life. Some people doubt it. Some people deny it. I think the worst is the group that disregard it. Disregard it. I pray today that you'll understand it. Then there is the third, is just a few comments on it. The blessed hope. Oh. Now, there are those churches today that think the church is going through the tribulation. They're wrong. They're wrong. I'm right and they're wrong. No, the Bible's right. That's what counts. Notice, if you will, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And turn over there with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, when I make this remark, I'm not in any way desecrating this Bible that I hold in here on this. But before these fellows, by the way, the fellow who did the chapters, his name was Stevens. He made a mistake when he closed. They should have been, when he got to verse 18, the next verse should have been 19 and so forth, because that is a continuation, not a different subject. But here you have the blessed hope. You know the world is in a mess. Anybody here doubt that? I'm leaving it. Amen. I'm either going through the portals of death or I'm going through the blessed. I like to go through the blessed hope. Somebody said you look forward to death. I've looked, no. But it will happen unless the Lord tarries. He's coming. But look here in verse 13. Of chapter 4. He says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Somebody said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. No, that's not what he said. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, that's those who have died. Back in Santa Maria, or in Charleston, South Carolina, six times in the last year and a half, 2 years, doing funerals. Old friends of mine, now home with the Lord. And every time I look at the casket, I kind of say, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. He said, earnestly, that you sorrow not, either which have no hope, the blessed hope. And then I want to drop all the way down to verse 16. Here we have the moment that we've been waiting for. I'm waiting for. I'm not waiting for the tribulation period. I'm not waiting for it. I'm not looking for it. You say, but the world's getting worse. That's right, but we're going to get out of here. Years ago, I had a man come up. They shake his fist in my face. He said to me, he said, if there's any way we can get rid of you Christians, we'd do it. And I said, don't worry, we're leaving. We're getting out of here. It's called the rapture. Now, the word rapture is nowhere found in the Bible. No, it's not there. The word means caught up. Caught up. And we're going to be caught up. I just love to have a funeral service when the rapture takes place, Pastor. Wouldn't it be great? Everybody's there, and all of a sudden, this body comes out of this class. The dead in Christ shall rise what first? Woo! What happened? There you go. Before you know it, you're up there with them. But notice verse 16, here's the moment that we have been waiting for. Look here, for the Lord himself, I like that, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The Lord, he's not going to send anybody else to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, is going to take us out of here. The moment that we've been waiting for. Notice, secondly, the miracle of the grave in that verse. The miracle in the grave. The Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Whew. Oh, my. I'm going to see my little girl again one day. I look forward to that. I'm going to see good friends, but some I'm not going to see, because they don't know Christ. I got a brother I'm trying to win to Christ. I want him saved. I have another brave brother, as far as I know, he's in hell tonight. Took his life on December 25th, 1957. I'm the one that found his body. It's a hard time. But the truth of it is, you're either saved or you're lost. It's one of the two. I wasn't saved at the time. I couldn't help. The dead in Christ. Now notice that little thought there in verse 16. How do we, not just the dead, but the dead where? That little preposition in. What a great word it is. In Christ. Notice not only the moment that we've been waiting for, the miracle in the grave, but the meeting in the air. Verse 17. For we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That's the word rapture there. With him in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. My wife is afraid of two things. Heights and 80 mile an hour driving my car. Well, honey, you will not be afraid of the height when the rapture takes place. God will remove that fear. Isn't that good, honey? Yeah. He just doesn't like heights. And she's always watching the speedometer. When we go home tonight, I even get near anything over 70. You're going too fast. That's okay. I'm looking forward to the height, the meeting in the air. It only deals here with the moment we've all been looking for, the miracle in the grave, the meat in the air. But notice this, the message of comfort. Wherefore, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. The tribulation is no comfort. That's in the next chapter. There's no comfort to know that the world's going to fall apart and the world's going to be judged. And oh, by the way, I've been asked, do you believe in global warming? Yes, I do. Revelation talks to you about God's going to burn this whole world up. There's going to be real, real global warming one day. But I'm thankful today. I have a lot of young people sitting here today from good families. Older folks, stay faith, stay on the old paths. The old book. The new birth. And the blessed hope. Even come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you tonight for the old paths. May we walk them, love them, live them, and be the kind of church and the kind of Christian God wants. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.